believe in click it or tick it?
Excessive vamping here on Click It or Ticket. I'm Pete Mutino.
And I'm Nick Schaefer. Excited about vamping because it reminds me of vampires. And that reminds me of Twilight, which gives me a boner.
It gives me a new moon.
When Ahmad Bradshaw's
Breaking Dawn.
Oh.
See, I that's associated with it, right? I think that's the next one, right?
Fourth one.
Breaking Bad.
Then what's the third
Bryan
one?
Bryan Cranston.
I don't know. Menstrual cycle.
Menstrual cycle. New moon. New.
See, whenever she has her period,
every
she's
new
at her most
moon, our people bleed. Our women bleed.
For years, our people have battled vampires.
I wonder if vampires ever considered feeding off of period blood. It's free. No one wants it.
Yeah, and it's not like they inflicted the wound.
I'm Ryan. How's it going?
Why can't
Ryan's
we all just
here.
Get along?
You guys recognize the voice of Christian. Yeah. Or you probably don't recognize the voice of Christian, but you recognize the drops of Christian. Christian?
I'm really pissed you didn't capitalize on that silence earlier. It was silent. I was waiting for you to come in with that.
Christian, filling shit
I'm trying
with
to
noise.
Do multiple things at once.
I am an exceptional thief.
For old time's sake, can you play that backwards? I want to hear the engine rev.
This is backwards.
That was?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
See, now I've heard them both so many times that it sounds normal. The Cage car, yeah, there we go. Powered by bees. Nicolas Cage.
It sounds like a Japanese man being, like, kind of tortured by
Pachinko
something.
It's like a Japanese man just talking to another Japanese man. They sound so angry in their language.
Is it the Japanese who sound angry, or is it the Chinese?
More so the Chinese.
The Japanese do,
I feel
too.
Like the Koreans really do.
Yeah, that's an angry
God,
language.
Those damn Koreans.
They seem to always yell.
Our people.
Warriors, our people, have fought the North Koreans with bees.
And turned into vampires.
I saw New Moon at the release of it.
Yeah, you saw the grand
the midnight
opening.
Showing.
May I ask why?
Well, listener Alyssa, so I had to quote the Killers and say I'm going to take you to a midnight show tonight.
yeah, she and all of her friends are going. I'm not really in a position to. I feel like the if you're a guy, your girlfriend wants to take you to like a silly chick movie. A movie like that, it's hard to be upset about it. It's really hard to like draw the line. Like, no, I'm not going to see it. Like, I'm not going to go.
It's a movie. I mean,
whatever. What
did
else
you like
doing?
It?
Going with a group of people.
Was it amusing to watch?
The first one we watched the first one because it was really funny. It was really bad funny.
Okay.
This one I was kind of expecting the same thing, and it was better
like,
than the last.
But significantly better.
It was a new director.
Okay.
Yeah, it was significantly better.
I saw the first one. I don't know.
Was it a good
why.
Movie?
I really have no excuse.
Worth seeing. In your opinion.
I mean, I don't know whom I'm recommending this to.
To me.
To you?
Woo.
You would probably...
Hot fire.
No,
you.
I don't think you would really... It's
not my thing.
No. I mean, the Thom Yorke song chase scene in the middle was really cool because of the Thom Yorke song. I liked the werewolves fucking up that vampire because I decided I needed to have a rooting interest in it because I didn't care.
So you're on Team Jacob?
No, I'm not on Team Jacob. I'm on
Team
Werewolf.
Yeah, huge difference. Yeah.
I don't care whom she dates. I'm really invested in who's going to like win in the fight.
But would she betray the vampire when he's done so much for her already?
My sister actually kind of has a professional interest in it because she wants
vampire.
To write books for young people. And apparently this was recommended to her as like, no, it's like Twilight like paces this very well for young people, even though it's clearly just wish fulfillment for adolescent girls who aren't very sociable.
Exactly.
Want to get fucked.
But basically, Edward is essentially... It's really funny, though, to see it because Edward, the vampire, is essentially an abusive boyfriend. Like, he won't, like, touch her. He doesn't want to hang out with her. Like, he actively, at one point, just says, like, you will never see me again. Like, ever. And he's like treats her like dog shit. And then...
That's to keep her wanting more.
Yeah, and then...
Well, that's what she gets for dating a fucking vampire.
Right. And then
a vampire.
And then Jacob comes along... And she's all depressed, and he like is trying to help her out of it. He's like, "Yeah, let's hang out after school. Like, you know what? Build some motorcycles."
And he's like, really jacked and like,
"Yeah, it's pretty much off the entire time."
Good, then I will definitely see it.
But anyway, it's a really classic. Even at one point, her dad is like, "You know, you got to learn to love what's good for you." Like, he
she
makes
has
her
a dad?
Happy. He's reliable. Yeah, a single.
I figured it'd be like an orphan.
He's a cop.
A good cop or a bad cop?
It depends on the day.
Now, why didn't the vampires take him out in the first movie?
Vampires like people.
Really?
Well, yeah, otherwise like it's people. Not wish fulfillment. You can't fall in love with a vampire if he eats people, because then he's evil.
Who don't his vampire have? Friends? Like, he brought a snack.
Yeah, those aren't his friends, though.
They're just like other vampires?
They're like the vampire government.
And they love snacks.
Or like vampire, like, douchebags.
Oh. And, like, the vampires, like, also have, like, a pope and stuff now.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, I go to the Vatican. I saw the preview when I went to go see Zombieland.
Yeah.
Great. The preview, it's like, he's going to kill himself in front of, like, the vampire council in the Vatican.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to explain.
Wait,
because
I have one more. I just have one question. Do werewolves have, like, a beef with anyone?
Yeah, all right. So the way they explain it is the werewolves, like, long ago, the vampires there before, and apparently parts of this Native American tribe have a gene that, like, activates, like, some of them have it, where they can shapeshift into just huge wolves. They're not really werewolves, per se. And
okay, werewolves.
But they have a treaty with this particular, like, family of vampires. It's like, you stay away from here and we won't, like, fight you or something.
All right.
But at one point,
when vampires are near, they just change automatically, or they change?
When they're, like, in the geographic vicinity, it's like people who didn't have it before, like, all of a sudden, like, realize they're starting to freak out and they're, like, becoming that. But then eventually learn to control it, I think.
So
there's only one scene in the movie where werewolves actually fight a vampire, and they just, like, tear him apart. And it's
so how is this different from the movie X-Men?
It's not.
It's not at all. Oh, because the vampires all have X-Men powers. Each one has their own, like, special power, and Dakota Fanning is, like, a really bitchy
Dakota
cunt.
Fanning is
Yeah,
in
she's
it?
A vampire.
Yes. Oh,
vampire.
She is so hot.
You see? Hot dude with his shirt off. Dakota Fanning. All right, here, let's do this with actresses. All right, Dakota Fanning is how many horns? Okay, Queen Latifah. She gets a horn? Wow.
That's a more apropos horn.
Star Jones.
I can't do it fast enough.
Mariah Carey.
That brought up, like, an error message on his computer.
Blake Lively.
I think it's because you said
I don't know
Mariah
who that
Carey.
Is.
Well, fucking... Christian's awfully horny right now.
Easy no, I just like Sienna Miller. She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah. Sister has a picture of her on her door that's been up there for years.
Oh, God. Ask me about Hadley.
Oh, there we go.
Hadley Green.
I'll just do this for, like, the rest of the podcast.
All right. Well, let's just say that's a given. Yeah. Let's say the horn's going to keep going for Hadley.
So Hadley's back from college for the weekend.
Honk if you're Hadley.
Work me up so much.
Yeah, she's back. She immediately started bitching in the car right home about how she was the smartest person in all of her classes.
Where does she go again?
Miami of Ohio.
Isn't it?
Oh.
What?
Well, that's
is
not
that
a, much
is
of
that a good school? I don't know.
I know a lot of people went there, so I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, whatever. She's the smartest in all her classes, so she says.
She can prove that empirically, actually.
All schools are garbage.
She has the most smarties.
That's what
she got them at Halloween.
She hates how everything's so homogenous, how there are a lot of Japs there.
Jewish American princesses.
Yes.
Okay. Just clarify.
Everything's homogenous. I mean, the American college student is a homogenous. Wherever you go, that's what it is. I bitch about Emory kids. Pete bitches about UConn kids. Christian bitches
I love
about
kids from BU.
The, like, three
all
different, every single one.
Except
whatever. I feel like it's not
all the colleges.
A school's, I don't think it's a school specific thing. I think it's kind of just the same shit.
Kids today. Suck.
It's the American college student is just for the most part is a. Parasitic.
It's also fun to hate people.
Yeah.
I love hating.
It truly is fun to hate people.
Hating's a full-time job here. Click your ticket.
Yeah, that is true. Most people who listen to this have to have some sort of capacity to hate. Because
I remember, a lot of people at school just drove me nuts because, you know, you're like all on Team Edward and you see them wearing, like, your Team Jacob shit and just like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
I very nearly bought a Team Jacob baby tee at the what is it? The pre whatever it was.
You brought a snack. Why isn't that a drop?
That's a really good question, Ryan.
Ryan.
I don't have a drop in front of me for that.
You were saving it for Christmas, weren't you?
Yes, it's
you're such a sweetheart.
Sorry,
Christmas podcast.
You stubborn mule, you discovered the secret.
I think that's the only drop I've used this podcast.
Doomcast.
You will all Moodcast. Get gift certificates from me. that are redeemable for one drop.
You shouldn't have explained what it was for. You should get gift certificates for me, Ryan Green.
The end.
Gift for one free back rub.
Hi, this is Ryan Green from the Foo Fighters. You're listening to
In the background, it's playing like the intro to Monkey Ranch. Very faintly.
We actually, speaking of friends of the
Ranch.
Podcast, we actually got an email from Greg Dalio, older brother slash grieving older brother
of the late Jeff. Moment of horns for the late Jeff Dalio.
Yeah, morning horns.
Morning horns, please.
Morns without the U.
Please, Christian. 21 horn salute.
There we go. Yeah.
Relax, we know you're sad.
This is like the bone cast.
Some of them were for Greg to stay strong.
The horn cast.
Just keep hammering at one sound.
Horn cast.
But this was an article sent from Greg to me around November 2nd. So woman calls 911 to report herself as drunk driver. Yeah, it took me a while. But then again, I don't have a whole lot of opportunities these days, so.
Yeah.
Where's this out of?
This is out of Neillsville, Wisconsin.
Whitmanville, Wisconsin.
Neillsville, Wisconsin. The call came into the 911 dispatcher. I don't want to hurt anybody. I'm drunk. And with that, Mary Stray, 49 of Granton, reported herself as a drunk driver about 3 miles northeast of Neillsville in central Wisconsin. Clark County Sheriff's Chief Deputy Jim Backus said Monday that Stray's call on October 24th led deputies to cite her for misdemeanor drunk driving. The blood alcohol level doubled the legal limit to drive. I imagine that's 0.16. All right, so...
So unwise.
Backus said drunken drivers reporting themselves is rare. I love that just the euphemisms in these stories.
It's like, well, it's rare, but it does happen every now and then.
Yeah, like this one time. And then I went on call. Stray said she wanted to report a drunken driver, and the dispatcher asked if she was behind the suspect vehicle. I am them, Stray said. She then followed the dispatcher's advice to pull
over. I'd like
to
report a drunk driver. Are you in front of them?
I am them.
Click.
I'm going to do that. I don't even need to be drunk or
do
driving.
Do it when you're completely sober. And then
and sitting at home.
And then give your friend's license number. She then followed the dispatcher's advice to pull over and turn on her flashers, telling them she'd been drinking all night long. It was unclear if Stray's hired an attorney yet. I like that she thinks to call the cops because she doesn't want to endanger anyone, but she doesn't think to pull over. It's like, I am a drunk driver. Someone has to stop this. If only someone could prevent me from driving this car.
I can't be stopped.
Please. What's good as a phone call if you're unable to speak?
I can't think, but I can use a cell
phone. There was a drop that would be so appropriate right there.
I
was spacing
fired.
Out. Isn't she like American?
Finger, Matrix drop. That's all right. It's from the same scene. It's too late.
Every time you hear the horn, drink.
Make the horn go backwards, please.
Oh, ooh.
Ooh.
I'm really curious to hear this.
Yeah, that's what I did.
It's going to go up in pitch.
A little early.
Is that the Texas Chainsaw Massacre sound?
A little bit.
Sounds like a tornado alarm.
Holy shit. It's like the King Bee coming to kill Nicolas Cage.
Oh, no, not the bee!
King!
Not the bee!
King!
Ah! He's got a bullet going in.
Oh, they are buzzing and stinging as bees are wont to do.
The bee horn.
Oh, they're defending themselves somehow.
More bees.
More.
I
put bees in cage.
Alyssa was watching the anti-smoking South Park episode with Rob Reiner. The guy who directed Princess Bride, of all people, is a curmudgeon now, apparently.
Interesting.
But the end of that, where Carmen stabs him with a fork and he yells, "My goo! My precious goo!" And he like, dies. That's got to be a high point for that show. A show of many, many high points.
That's really the director of The Princess Bride?
Yeah, Rob Reiner directed. He directed The Princess Bride, and he's also Marty DeVerghi in the fake director in Spinal Tap. Reiner. Yeah, he's famous for doing like very funny, good natured, making fun of everything. But apparently now he's really, really cantankerous on the subject of smoking. So,
on a completely unrelated note, So, Steven Seagal, what do you feel like he does in his spare time?
He's filming his new TV show.
Exactly.
What
Lawman.
Yeah.
He's a cop.
Apparently, Steven Seagal, for the past, like, two decades, when he's not, like, making movie, he's in, like, New Orleans being a cop.
Wait, he's an actual cop?
Yeah. Like, no, he's an actual cop, apparently.
Shaq is apparently a sheriff's deputy.
No, like, too, like Steven Seagal...
So he's like Dwight Schrute.
Yes,
but black.
As the commercials have led me to believe, Steven Seagal went in and was like, yeah, I'll show you guys how to like do self-defense moves. And they're like, you're awesome. You want to just like be a cop?
Yes, I would like that. I would like that very much.
So now when he's like in New Orleans, like a cop when he's not making movies.
Holy shit. I'm not committing crimes there.
They need some... Well, a lot of other people are doing that for you.
I'm covered as far as
number
that
one in city in crime for the past, I think, like 15 years.
The hurricane only made it... You'd think the hurricane would kill
was
all the criminals.
Was it number one
but,
this year? They just released the list.
Probably.
Number one. Here, I'm all over.
Do top 20 crime cities. Search for that.
Detroit.
I don't think it was Detroit.
Probably New Orleans.
All right, two things which you guys have just reminded me of. One... you would have had me completely surprised with that Steven Seagal thing if you'd come by like 7 hours ago. Because I was watching Packers-Lions today with my dad for Thanksgiving, the football game, and there was a commercial for it. And all my dad had to say about it, we just watched the commercial kind of in silence, and all my dad had to say about it was, Steven Seagal aged really badly. And then my response was, what else did you expect him to do? And that was kind of, he didn't even answer that.
And right, that was that.
City crime rankings by population group. Newton, Massachusetts. Safest is Newton, Mass. Most dangerous is
Camden.
New
that
Jersey.
Was the list I saw too.
Camden, Detroit, Atlanta,
Detroit,
St. Louis.
Not dangerous crime rate.
Is it? Oh,
it's different.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's interesting. Gary, Indiana, D.C., Hartford, Connecticut.
Hartford's bad.
Mm-hmm. Local town. All right.
Hartford's awful.
New Orleans is clocking in at 8 in terms of crime rate. I wonder what the maybe do murder rate or like violent crime rate.
It's usually just crime rate. It's a general statistic.
There's crimes. Okay, me number one like carjackings, but
there's a second point which you guys are
the
reminding
silence
me of
is kind of bothering me.
Yeah, I know. While staring at a computer.
This is poor. This
I'll
is
amuse
not
you
good.
With this. Drops.
I have the safest and most dangerous cities for 2007.
What was that?
I don't remember putting that backwards. I guess I did.
Was that a Nicolas Cage thing? Was that one of the new ones?
Yeah, it's one of the
new ones. I was having really bad luck, but I'm having good luck.
What's that from?
Sorry!
Nicolas Cage made a bunch of pachinko ads in Japan.
Pachinko wasankyo.
See?
Wasankyo.
What is pachinko?
It's sort of like slots.
Pachinko
wasankyo. It's a combination between slots and pinball.
And is it like a home entertainment?
No, they have like pachinko parlors. It's like mini casinos.
Oh, I know
Japan.
What pachinko is.
Yeah.
We have a pachinko machine in our garage.
What?
What?
Your family doesn't own like anything.
You know that thing in the garage, that
machine?
Old like wooden thing with the pegs that like go in circles?
It's like a top and you spin it.
No.
That thing? No.
That's a dreidel.
No, it's like dad's old wooden thing, and it appeared in the garage out of nowhere, and it's like pinball.
Oh, I know what you're talking. And you have to get it all the way to the end?
Or something.
And you kind of rotate the board?
I don't know how it works.
With the labyrinth game where you have the two knobs, and it's like a box of two knobs, the marble.
And the little metal thing. Yeah, that's why I thought it
that
was.
That game's
but I guess
sweet,
it's not that either.
No.
Oh, yeah, my whole family was just like completely fixated on it for like 3 years.
I love that game.
And then it just got thrown into our garage.
I would always just cheat and like pop both at once and try and lob it all the way over to get to the other side.
No, it's like it's
quit hacking.
It's a combination of
wall hacks.
Wall hacks, yeah. But what is pachinko?
It's like the Japanese version of slots almost.
Okay.
It's gambling.
But you said pinball is kind of involved.
I put in pachinko, and all I got was Richard Pochinko.
It's with an
a notable Canadian clown trainer.
No, it's P-O.
Holy shit.
Here it says P-A.
Yeah, pachinko is the Japanese is a Japanese gaming device used for amusement and gambling. It resembles a vertical pinball machine, but with no flippers and a large number of relatively small balls. The player fires a ball up into the machine, controlling only its initial speed. Dense forest of pins. Oh, they did this on MXC where the person had to get in the ball and actually come down. Do you remember that MXC, the show, the Japanese game show where people were humiliated?
Of course,
and injured?
I remember that.
Try and find a picture of just like a pachinko board. Enhanced podcast,
and we'll throw it on there.
This is a
in fact, you're probably looking at one right now,
board.
While we are not.
This is a mechanical pachinko machine. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
all right,
that's what we have in our garage.
You a winner, ha ha ha.
All right, for the
this is Richard Pachinko. Died in 89. He was a notable Canadian clown trainer.
How did he die?
As opposed to
Richard
you know what,
Pachinko.
Not. He developed his own style of performance training, which is known as the Pachinko technique. He's born and raised in Lockport, Manitoba, a blue baby requiring immediate blood transfusions to survive. This is a real. This may be the longest Wikipedia article I've ever seen, and it's all about Richard Pachinko.
God bless this guy.
Holy fuck! It doesn't. It isn't organized either because I don't think anyone took the time to edit.
We can get a picture of Richard Pachinko.
It's just a colossal block of text with a whole bunch of photos. This must have been done by a family member. Oh no, there's references. Holy shit.
He must have been like a serious clown trainer.
Yeah, there's references. One of them is Timeless Circus in Times of Change. Canadian perspective. I don't know. Because it's not organized, as I said.
I miss him.
To the pachinko clown, clowning is all about all honest emotions and impulses to occur, and then structuring that creative license to build a performance. But holy shit. So he freed.
So are we glad he's dead?
He freed clowns from emotional slavery. He's like, all right, he's like if Lawrence Fishburne from The Matrix, except it's all about clowns.
Wait, so he's Morpheus?
Yes, clown? Yes, emotional.
How
freedom.
About Richard? I give you the finger,
and you give me clown lessons.
I'm looking for death, but it doesn't say anything about his death.
Aren't we all?
So the details of his death are like a mystery.
Yeah.
Shrouded in red noses and other such.
I'll tell you one thing about his death.
What?
Nothing funny about that. I couldn't even get through it. I couldn't get through it without cracking up. No, I said there was nothing funny.
Alan Rickman disagrees, as does Christian.
Oh, dear. There is one other final podcast point from 8 years ago or whatever it was that I do have here.
Peenies.
Okay.
That was... All right, two more.
If we can squeeze them in.
Boy makes up kidnapping story to cover bad report card. A child who claims he was kidnapped on Friday confessed to making up the story to avoid telling his family about a lousy report card, authorities in Alabama said Monday. So if it was lousy for Alabama, this was poor. This was very subpar. The 11-year-old boy will not face any charges, said Sergeant Mark Roberts. I just hope children don't do this too often because it does put us through quite a lot of manpower. We gave the investigation the whole nine yards. Robert said the child, whose name he did not reveal, came up with the elaborate abduction scenario Friday afternoon. The kid was coming home from school when he was supposedly kidnapped by a guy driving in a red car. He basically said a white male driving red beat-up car grabbed him and forced him in the vehicle. He saw a black revolver. The driver said, I'm going to take you somewhere and kill you. That's not really that elaborate, Sergeant Mark Roberts. It's pretty generic, to be honest.
But he said the color of the car. Like,
yeah, but that's pretty a red car... A like, white dude?
Most kidnapping stories, they're like, tell us what happened.
Black
so
revolver.
Or, you know, whatever. And then it's just like...
They're so paralyzed with fear.
He kidnapped me. You know, it's your standard
and
story.
And that's the reason they probably caught him is most revolvers are fluorescent pink.
It's true. They are. It's the new ones.
Look, I'm not going to ask a kid 5-year-old. Be like, okay, so what was the car?
It was 11.
Sorry, 11-year-old. It was a red Ford Explorer with some blue pinstriping down the side. It had a gray leather interior.
You would probably press
power
him for
seats.
More details. You could.
There was massaging. There's a massage thing on the passenger side.
Well, it was a beat up car. There weren't massages, but all right.
It was beat
Brian,
up.
You could do
dilapidated.
It. You could do it in ways without making the kid relive the trauma too badly. And you need more specifics than a red car with a white dude, to be honest. And they said they gave it the full nine yards. They could show him pictures of car logos, see if he recognized any of those. They could show him. They could ask him about the guy beyond what race was he. But regardless, this kind of I like the kid's ingenuity, although the execution was poor.
How did he get caught?
He admitted it.
Oh God, the kid had a conscience.
Well, eventually, the parents are gonna get bored of this kidnapper story and say, hey, what do your grades look like?
Yeah, wait, yeah. Is it just like a diversion from the report card?
Maybe he thought...
It's like my parents won't look at the report card.
Yeah,
if
that's a good point.
They think I got kidnapped.
Maybe he's waiting until he's
that's
actually
That's a really
kidnapped.
Good point.
Yeah, like, I don't understand.
The kidnapper, said, give me your report card or I'll shoot you.
It's ridiculous. It's like, I don't want someone to see this document, so I'm going to tell everyone that I, like got raped. So, wait, what?
did you guys ever try to cover a report card?
Oh, yeah. Well, I just take them. And it's like, well, looks like the school didn't send
it.
Yeah,
we did that all the time.
Did that work?
Oh, yeah. We had this whole thing. Whoever got home first, hid the report
card.
And
then when even Mary, got in on it.
It was a nice little thing we had going.
Since I brought
us all together.
Since I moved so many times throughout town, they must have sent to the wrong address.
That's true. You moved every 6 months, Woody Woodpecker.
Yep.
But you guys were in the same barn for a good chunk of time.
Yeah.
It's a good barn.
Or when it finally went through, I'd just be like, they're going to change all those. It's just whatever. I'll talk to them.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. You got home before your parents did?
Well, yeah, but they both worked.
You were latchkey kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Haunted hamburger.
Well, it was actually a tight squeeze because that's right when my mom would be home about.
So is it like Ferris Bueller?
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Jumped
I was about
on
to
the
say
trampoline.
And stop and talk to the lovely ladies on the sun chairs.
And dinner always smelled magnificent in that house.
Yeah. Dinner's ready.
And did Mary stave off burglars by claiming to have a scorching case of herpes?
Yeah, and her father's gun. Oh, yeah.
So most dangerous cities in the U.S. in 2007, 2 out of 3 are from Michigan.
Well, Flint and Detroit, I would assume.
Yeah, and Flint is featured prominently in our first rejected law school application.
That's true. This is 07, though. This is a different time. I mean, now Flint
different
is
era.
The safest place.
Flint doesn't exist
on Earth.
Anymore. Ah, I remember the other point from earlier. Apparently, that there are houses in Detroit which are being sold for $1,000.
Yep.
Wow.
As houses, and
nice
I was thinking,
VCR.
And my first thought was exactly. But my first thought was, well, of course, because it's not just a matter of I get to have a house. It's like presumably you have to do something with it. You have to live there. But then I realized, couldn't there be construction companies that could buy these houses for like $1,000 and then just like strip them for construction supplies and stuff like that,
and
then like
something else there.
And then build something on the lot.
Aren't there
or,
some real estate moguls who are going to build just, a casino there? You know, buy like 5 houses and build a casino and
yeah, or you could just
rake up on all the degenerates and homeless people.
You could say you could get new supplies for cheaper, which may be true and probably is true because Detroit. I'm not sure what the quality of these $1,000 homes are. But you could you say buy them, you strip out all the copper piping, and then you just own the land until there's a time where it's actually worth something.
There you
if you're
go.
A company that has capital, why don't you do this?
Detroit, fact, here we come.
Yeah.
Take all the fixtures, ship it to like New York, vintage fixtures.
Yeah, there you go. Ooh, Ryan's thinking. Also, we're going to use Greg Daly's investment in the show to buy 3 of those houses. One of them will be Podcast Central. The other 2 will be demolished.
Well, we're going to have to buy some guns to defend it if we're actually going to be there.
What's funny is RoboCop in the 80s, wasn't that set in Detroit?
Yeah.
It's like in the future, it's just like a wasteland. The apocalypse, the rest of the country is fine, but Detroit is like a post-apocalyptic wasteland. Little did we know the foresight possessed by the writers of RoboCop.
Yeah, when that
RoboCop by Nostradamus.
When that claymation robot fell down the stairs, like I was pretty sure that movie was bullshit. How wrong I was.
I know. It's is the unemployment rate like 35%?
Probably more.
Yeah, I was gonna say it might be higher.
That's unemployment.
Those are the people who have filed for unemployment.
Yeah, that's true. There's the silent majority still remains.
The underemployed.
Also known as the rest of Detroit.
Well, firemen are doing great. There's just a lot of shit to put out. And business is a booming.
Go Tigers.
You're making fun. Oh, God. And apparently, Tigers are a fucking mess, too. They got to give $18 million to Maglio Ordóñez. They have to. It's required. Uh-oh. They're contractually obligated.
I can't wait till he sues them. When they can't come up with the money.
Although Mike Ilitch, apparently, you know what? Guess which sport is has had the most boom in terms of profits since the recession?
UFC.
Soccer?
That's been stable. Those have been stable. It's the NHL.
Boo.
Is doing really, really well.
Minnesota.
Well, I guess good for them because like they had to go on like a hiatus for a year.
They didn't exist for a year.
Yeah, that's awful.
There was
for the people who enjoy the sport,
part of
I personally don't. But
part of it is sort of an independent thing, which is that the Blackhawks had sucked for decades, and then their owner died, and now they're really awesome. So Chicago is a major market, which is all of a sudden interested in the sport again. But other than that, I don't know. Is it that Canadians still have tons of money, and they're like pushing us around with it now, or what's
go
it?
Red Wings?
Red Sox? Red
Minnesota?
Wings. Oh, Red Wings. That guy's the same owner as the Tigers, is why I brought it up.
Minnesota.
He owns. He's the Little Caesars mogul. He's the guy, the CEO, mogul. I don't know why I call him mogul. He wasn't that. But he's the CEO of Little Caesars, and that's how he made all his money.
Oh, Mike Ilitch. Rejected law school application.
Yeah,
Little
exactly.
Caesars, it's right back.
That's why it was
Michigan,
in Michigan.
Full
that's why
circle,
I put it there.
Tying it together here on Click It or Ticket.
And so he owns the Red Wings and the Tigers, and he actually has the highest percentage of reinvestment into his team of any team in the majors.
Oh, good for him.
It's 62%
he's
of
committed.
Profits go right back
into
the team.
For the Bruins.
Well, when that's the only thing that's happening in your city besides crippling depression and crime, then.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess you gotta go a little balls to the wall.
What's good? They actually, how in center field at Comerica Park, they have that like GM, Ford, Chrysler signs up in the. They're huge. They're enormous. You could get tons of money in the advertising. And you know, 10 years ago when the stadium was built, they paid $2 million a year or whatever it was to have those signs up. This year, they couldn't afford it. Those companies couldn't afford it. I think Ford could. They could afford to do it. But but the Tigers actually let them keep those signs up for free to, like, try to help them out.
Wow.
So, although I think that everyone who's going to a game in Detroit, Michigan is probably going to buy American anyway, but, you know, I guess it's the thought that counts.
You know, there's something about, I don't get car advertising in general. It's so confusing when I see it's like the official car of the NFL. It's like, I need to buy that shit. Like,
yeah, does that work?
It's like, screw tuition for my kids this year. Like,
how much does car advertising work in general? Because most people are buying cars. It's not like you sit around and it's like, yeah, I think I will buy a car right now. It's like, oh, I need to buy a car.
It's like, this one's fuel efficient and it looks really cool on this commercial I just saw.
Buy it. Haunted gas efficiency. Ryan, you look primed to,
like,
say something.
Like, it seems like local car commercials are more effective because
there's just so damn many of them.
Cars?
Well, that too.
Yes, there are, Ryan.
There's so many damn car ads.
Oh, that's
I see
true.
The same ones over and over. What the fuck? You're the reason I own a TiVo.
It is true. see beer commercials make a lot of sense to me because it's something that people buy all the fucking time. You don't buy cars all the time.
Yeah.
Unless you're on Cribs. And
no, those are just
You're buying cars that don't need to advertise.
No, right, exactly.
Cribs cars are just leased.
But a lot of the time, I will actually be, you know, standing in the beer aisle, and I'm sure there's all kinds of subconscious shit playing in my head. It's like, which beer do I want today? I'm sure the advertising affects me. I don't know.
I got Dos Equis the other day because I was like, oh, the most interesting man in the world drinks it.
Love those commercials.
But, like, and working at a liquor store, there's, like, a science to the way that, like, liquor companies come in. Like, the representatives of the beer companies will come in and rearrange your entire fridge to sell the products that they want to sell in a certain way, like the products they represent.
Oh, how they want the visual.
And there's, like, a whole science to it. Like, they, like, do it on a computer and make this entire chart and come in and put it that exact way.
Wow. I mean, distributors have serious they hire salesmen. A friend of mine I knew did this in St. Thomas. He was the Adrian's buddy, was a distributor for, like, Coors and Heineken and Amstel and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And his job was to, like, set up really awesome parties where people only drank that shit and to, like, just kind of push the product on people and set it up
in the going,
I talked to a chick who did the exact same thing but for like Marlboro, like 51 cigarettes. She's like, I don't smoke, but, like, here's all the shit that I did to help promote this new cigarette.
Those cigarettes don't exist.
Well, whatever, the new Marlboro brand they launched over the summer.
Right. Christian knows every single brand of cigarette, and that is not one of them.
They definitely could exist. I'm just being an asshole.
For once. For once, he's being an asshole.
Well, for once, we're all being assholes, and I think we're ending this podcast. It's always so sad when we go. But for us, not for you. For you.
Yeah, you guys are like, oh, thank God, we're obligated to listen to this because we're friends.
You listen to, like, the Do You Believe in Clicker Ticket thing, and then you fast forward to the end, and you're like, yeah, I listened to it.
I had to create an artificial market for
the
this podcast.
Was funny.
I had to create an artificial market. I will not talk to people. I'm just like, if you want to hang out with me, you have to listen to the podcast. Like, that's what you have to do.
It's a good ultimatum.
It works. I mean, it's why my parents listen.
It's the Schaefer supremacy. The Schaefer. New Tino identity, the Clicker Ticket
Schaefer's
podcast.
Christian, let's send us out on some on a
wave.
Yeah,
say farewell. We're not going to see Christian for a while, so.
How about I give you the thing?
Peenies.
Of course,
a blissful cacophony.
With club sauce.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.